Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
With Squarespace, you can do more than just build a website. You can build a business. Squarespace helps restaurants and hotels showcase signature offerings and experiences. And with Squarespace, consultants and photographers can create invoices to collect well-earned payments. You can even send email newsletters to keep in touch with your loyal customers. Done. So grow your business at squarespace.com. Get started with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your website or domain.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
And welcome to what should be a very informative edition of Spits and Suds. Wow, we have a lot to talk about. And joining us from Buffalo, where draft night is upon us and so many moves could be, should be, would be upon us. It's going to be a crazy day. And to fill us in, it's our NHL and Stars insider, Sean Shapiro. Now, who makes Spits and Suds happen? The on-time experts. So let's start with that. These guys are awesome. I was actually just trading emails with them and thanking them for being a proud sponsor of Spits and Suds. The cool thing about the on-time experts is it's not like a small company. They've grown over the years, so they have the trucks available, and so therefore they can offer that same day service guarantee. So if you take me up on that first time customer offer today, that $59 complete HVAC cleaning for first time customers, they'll be out there today and they can do that. So you don't need to necessarily be put on a VIP list. You don't need to be put on any kind of list, because once you call the on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com, you become their VIP because they want you as a customer for life. So remember that $59 special. Also, that $99 first floor drain cleaning special. Make sure those drains are nice and clean. So they're just good people, and they support local hockey in DFW. They'll do a great job. Their trained technicians come to your house. They want to sit down with you. They want to talk to you. They're not going to try to upsell you. They are great. They're the on-time experts. TheOnTimeExperts.com, proud supporter of Spits and Suds. You can hear the sound effects in the background, and it's a beautiful thing. Live from Buffalo, New York, it's our NHL and Stars insider. You can read all about this weekend and all the events that are happening in hockey from his Substack, Shap Shots. Also, his YouTube channel, Algorithmically Incorrect, with our friend Robert Tiffin, as well as covering the draft for Elite Prospects. Sean does such a great job. We're happy to have him. Sean, thanks for taking the time, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Gavin, I'm happy to join you from Buffalo. It's kind of a cool setup. So the draft tonight is in the KeyBank Center, which is the arena the Sabres play in. But right next door, they have the Harbor Center, which is their practice rink and facility and everything like that. And going on, as you can hear in the background right here, every year in June, they do it's what they call the 11-day power play. So there's a beer league game that's been going on. I think we're in day like 8 or 9 of it, where it's like an 11-day straight beer league game, where it's just a bunch of team blue versus white. They raise a ton of money for cancer research.
Nice.
I can see the It's funny, I can see the scoreboard right now. Team Blue has a lead of 1,290 to 1,253 right now.
Oh my goodness.
They keep the score. Like, we're in like day, like this is like, it goes from like June 17th to like June 29th, I think. So like, this
what a cool idea.
And so, yeah, just been 24/7, the rink's going, teams putting, raising money for cancer research and everything. So kind of a cool thing to shout that out. That's the background.
How many players are on a team, or do they just keep bringing in various teams?
Like, it's just a bunch of different, like, it's kind of every, obviously it's set up where there's Team Blue and there's Team White, and people are in like, so different, it's local, different beer league teams basically take a shift playing for each team. And it's a pretty cool thing. They've done this for a decade now, I think.
Wow.
To raise a bunch of money for charity. It's called the 11 day power play. Cool thing that, raising some money for cancer research and everything like that here.
That's really cool. So pull back the curtain moment. Like, a lot of times on these podcasts and video casts, people will be like, can you go to a place that's quiet? And I'm like, can you go to a place that's loud so I can hear one timers? You know,
yes,
I
mean,
that's my style. I'm like, this is like, I love the sound effects. Like, I love doing my on time experts reading. I'm hearing this one timer. I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful thing. All right, Sean. So the question is, did you get any sleep last night after Sportsnet with that bombshell? As far as Elliot Friedman, multiple sources reporting that the Stars gave permission for Jason Robertson to talk to Seattle, and a deal was offered of $15 million or 8-year contract, and Robertson's camp turned Seattle down, whether it was to play in Seattle or the money.
Yeah.
But it was turned down, and apparently the Stars had a deal in place if Robertson were to accept.
Yeah, so it's I'm happy that Elliot was able to track that down, because it's something where I've spoken to people about Seattle's interest and how much Seattle's been pressing, but obviously Elliot's well plugged in and got that $15 million thing, and I've gotten no pushback on that as well. And we've also seen, others have reported it, but there's been apparently there's also been conversation with I don't know what the dollar figure was from the St. Louis Blues, but Jason Robertson's camp, the Stars also granted the Blues permission to talk to Robertson about a contract extension, about a potential contract, and Robertson is not interested in signing in St. Louis. So obviously some big things on the movement front. Things we've kind of seen with the Stars on this, with the Robertson deal, where it's, I believe deep down, Jim Neal wants to get something done, but they also know that a number becomes untenable and it would be time to move on. And for example, with Seattle, we know that number 7 pick would have been involved. From my understanding, there also would have been another first round pick involved. I have not heard of winning players that would have been involved. And then for the Stars, whether it was part of a 3-team trade purely or part of a pivot taking those assets to another thing, my understanding is there's a lot of the Stars probably would have tried to use those Jason Robertson acquired assets to go and get another top 6 forward, which right now sounds like they're interested in getting either Dylan Larkin or Matthew Nyes. Come in and to kind of fill the hole from Robertson. So here's the important thing that's come up on this. I've also spoken with people. There's times where the Stars have been, and Jim Neal's been looking at all options for this for a while. There was a point during last season, apparently, when Jason Robertson thought he might get traded last season. And that obviously never came to fruition, but I've since learned that's something that was highly possible. And it wasn't about Jason Robertson saying no to the $15 million, from my understanding. It's Jason Robertson saying no to Seattle. And I think it's also the same thing of him saying no to St. Louis as well, from my understanding of the situation, how this is all played out. Jason Robertson wants to be highly paid. And I think this is where there's a lot of confusion and people looking at it the wrong way, where people are like, oh, how greedy is he if he wants to sign it? He's saying no to a $15 million deal. I think just for Jason Robertson, it's about going to a place he thinks can win. He thinks he can win, and he can make 13.5 plus. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's about – it's not purely about the money from my understanding. And Seattle, Artemi Panarin said the same thing to the Kraken.
Yeah.
How are you going to win? So I truly – like, I look at the Jason Robertson stuff and where this is all go. I think the only place he would really go that doesn't – that isn't in a cup window right now would be to California. Like, I truly think – like, there's a – if there is a – if there's a place he's going to go where that team doesn't check the box of, hey, they're a Stanley Cup contender, I don't think he's really interested in going anywhere else. And I think, and honestly, yeah, he wants to be back in Dallas, right? Like, there is – he's not a star true and true to the end, right? Like, there's not, like, going to be a hometown discount, obviously. But he wants to he's happier in Dallas than people realize. And it's been interesting in – nice to have some of this kind of stuff come to a front a little bit more now. So
that was a lot there.
So let me know what we did or didn't get. So
you're right about California, and I you know, the one looking at the cap figure and everything, San Jose just comes to mind, and I don't even know if they're interested, but I feel as though San Jose could offer the Stars something that they would enjoy with the draft assets, as well as they could pay Robertson because, you know, they have the cap space. So that was one I certainly thought of.
Yeah. It's like, that's, there's a lot of irons in the fire on this, right? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of moving parts, and it's kind of a two-front battle right now, where on one hand, Jim Nill and Andy Scott are going back and forth about deals for Robertson. At the same time, there is the there's the kind of level of you're always pushing to get the best possible return, and what could follow up if you do have to make another move. So there's a lot of things moving around here. I personally, like, Andy Scott works for Jason Robertson, so we got to be clear, right? Like, he's his client, and we didn't have Andy on this week, but we had a bonus episode of our show drop last night with Elaine Waugh, who is from the Waugh Sports Group, who's a pretty big agent in the NHL, someone who his biggest client happens to be Nico Hischier, and we had Elaine on this week, and he was talking about just kind of the really fascinating dynamics of agents remembering they work for the player and everything like that. And Andy Scott has a reputation amongst teams of someone who pushes for more money and pushes for the space. He got the Leon Draisaitl, the $14 million, a couple of years back. He ended up coming to the $12 million deal with Jim Nill, but this was after there was a heavy push from Scott to get $14 million for Rantanen in Colorado and back Carolina. And honestly, if there hadn't been the aggressiveness from the agent in the Rantanen deal, Rantanen is probably still in Colorado, just to be completely blunt about it. And so I think the Stars and Jim Nill are in a bit of a unique position here where they're obviously testing the waters on everything, but they know that Colorado's lack of patience with this agent led to their own gain, obviously, in the Rantanen deal. So that's the reason that I always warn people of something could happen, but Jim Nill, there's not the natural deadline that some other people keep trying to throw out there. Like, that's kind of, Jim is going to be patient, as patient as he can be. But if you can go and say, hey, we're going to trade Jason Robertson, and you know what, the next move, we can go bring in either Matthew Knies or Dylan Larkin and recoup those picks that we spent to get Rantanen, that's going to be that's not a bad pivot point.
Right. Well, I guess the question then becomes, is this the following on the table where he could do a Mitch Marner and go back to the Stars and say, we couldn't come to a deal with you or anyone else, therefore I'll take my 9.3 qualifying offer, I'll play for the year, and let's see where it goes.
100%. 100% feasible. I mean, it's, and if you're the Stars, right, that's the, it's, does it make next year's cap situation incredibly tough? Yes, but in a way, it's a little bit easier at the same time, because if it's at 9.3 and then maybe get Maverick Bourque done, and then yep. and then that Jamie Benn deal is going to say that Jamie Benn deal comes in at around $1 million, which is what I expect it to be. Once that Jamie Benn deal comes in, you don't really feel like the Jamie Benn deal almost feels free, because you're not paying the 12 to 12 and a half that you probably budgeted for Robertson originally. So
yeah,
it's taking to today's problems and making them tomorrow's problems in a sense, but it is completely still on the table. And I fully expect the Stars to give the qualifying, if nothing's done by Monday, I fully expect the qualifying offer to be given on Monday. And then it will be interesting to see what the league appetite truly is for someone to do an offer sheet, because that's, I've gone back to this, Gavin, a couple times with you. It's one thing to trade known assets.
Right.
It's another thing as a GM, and NHL GMs are notoriously conservative on this stuff. It's another thing to willingly give up the next 4 years of first round picks.
Correct.
Like, and potentially risk like Toronto got number one this year, right? So
yeah.
Like they had a fall, they had a crash and burn here, but like it's to go and get Jason to spend four first round picks on Robertson through the qualifying through an offer sheet, and you could be giving up a lot. So
right, like yeah, I don't think the Stars organization and Jim Neal and the people around him regret their decisions, but I do think it's probably a painful day if they sit through the first round with the depth of this first round this year. I'm sure it's kind of painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's give and take, but flip side for Stars fans, if you're watching the draft tonight and the Stars don't have a pick in the first round, you have to remember your team made sacrifices so that they could go as far as they could. Whether it worked out or not, that's your decision. But your team has gone for it the last 5 years, let's say. And that's been impressive.
That's the whole thing, right? Like, I'm a draft nerd. I love the draft and everything like that. But the reality is, at the end of the day, do you want to make your bet after the first four or five picks? You're making future bets on 18, 17, and 18-year-olds when there's more certainty within this window to win right now. And obviously, it's one of those where if the Stars get the job done and win the Cup either of the last 2 years, you're not worrying about it at all. But obviously, there's only one team at the end of the year that actually gets that honor. So.
Yeah, I did want to just, because I mean, it's interesting when all these trade scenarios come up in the Toronto float about Matthew Knies, I did kind of raise an eyebrow and say, I kind of want to bring him up to Sean, because that is a true left wing with great size, 6'3". And, you know, he's shown that he can put up points.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the credit to Robert when him and I were texting about this. It's the Jamie Benn starter package.
Yes,
right?
Like, that's a good one. Yeah,
like it's the, obviously Jamie isn't the player he was, but probably it's kind of a fitting one to one career arc style type there that you can kind of look at. So, and maybe Maverick Bourque gets that. Maybe if you do that, you have a little bit more cap space, and then Maverick Bourque extension becomes a little bit easier and all of that stuff too. So that's definitely on the table here. It's funny, Gavin, we're having this conversation because 6 weeks ago I would have thought, you know what, this would have gotten done.
Sure.
And we wouldn't have never even been to this point. And now there's been more and more of that push and that pull and everything than I expected. And, it also feels like a bit of a, I mean, honestly, there's a bit of a power dynamic at play here as well for the Stars' perspective of, do you, and it's, it goes back to the whole, like, Vegas had multiple players making more than $10 million, but it goes back to, in the salary cap era, people are so worried about this. Can you win the whole thing with a player making more than $10
million? Yeah.
Can you? Because Florida did not have a player making more than $10 million when they won. Carolina did not have a player making more than $10 million when they won. I did Colorado before that. So obviously at some point someone's going to, Kyle's salary cap's going to keep going up and up, and eventually that $10 million number is going to be a ridiculous one for reference. But for now, teams are still kind of caught in that level and that thinking of, if I'm paying someone $13, $14, $15 million, where's the other gaps that are created? And I think from a Stars perspective, I would pay Jason Robertson $13.5 million. I don't think it's a big deal. Like, I know there's a lot of bunch of people who think that's a big deal. Like, I don't think $13.5 is too much. Honestly, I'd be fine with 14 for him, because I think you can trade Ilya Lyubushkin easier than people realize.
Yeah.
I also think it's, with where the cap's going, I think it's fine. Like, I think there's something to be said about raising your homegrown talent. Like, I always laugh. Sometimes people be like, oh, all these superstar players want to go to Dallas and Florida. Like, the Stars is a homegrown core, right? Like, obviously, yeah, they made the trade for Rantanen, but it's very much, you look at their core, everything's been through the draft and everything. So trust those people. So that's kind of, that's the interesting part of all of this right now. And it's, my phone's, as we've been talking, my phone's been buzzing. I've been looking, nothing at anything, nothing that's actually related to the Stars. So it's like that day where anything can change. Anything can change right now. So
no, I definitely think, and one thing is that I'm guessing the NHL does this on purpose, but amazing how tight of a turn it is from the draft to, so essentially this is an NHL draft slash kind of, I'm going to compare baseball, like winter meetings where things happen. This is kind of like a combo, right, Sean?
Sort of. Not what it used to be. With the draft now being remote, basically, with none of the teams, like, there's not a lot of energy here like it used to be, right? Like, there's energy from seeing fans walking around with jerseys and everything like that, but it's not the same as what it used to be when the draft was fully in person and it was basically the industry meetup. I'm sure we have some listeners here who have remembered the draft being in Dallas in 2017. That was 2018. The draft being in Dallas in 2018, and how much energy is in the building in there, because all 32 teams have all their people there and everything like that. So there's a little bit less right now just because of what used to be. And it's also, honestly, the quick turnaround between the draft and July 1 is another reason that many GMs voted to keep this remote. When the draft, the last in-person draft in Vegas, a couple teams, I know Toronto, for example, and another one, I can't remember which, actually stayed in Vegas through July 2nd to do their UFA stuff just because of the quick turnaround and everything like that. And so it's a bunch of, everyone's working the phones, everyone's working the lines, but it's not the in-person things getting, it's not the in-person meetings that it used to be. And a little bit bummed about that, but it is what it is. So.
Yeah.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Okay, let's go through the Central real quick before we let you go, because a couple of big moves. Val Nichushkin, former Dallas Stars number one pick, gets moved to Columbus. In return, Columbus sends draft picks to Colorado. Colorado has actually made a few moves for draft picks. Drury on the move, kind of like a utility Swiss Army knife. I kind of liken him to Sam Steele. I think Steele's got a little bit more scoring ability, but Drury does a lot for that Colorado Avalanche team, and he makes the move to Nashville. So let's talk about that first. Colorado with some movement. Seems as though they're trying to get back, stockpile some picks.
Yeah, and they're one, too, I've been told to keep an eye on when it comes to the Dylan Larkin stuff, too, right? Because they could be looking, they're potentially in on that. And I don't know. I know I'd be curious to know what Nichushkin's no trade list, because I believe Nichushkin had a 12-team no trade list. So
wow.
for all the times that we hear about Columbus being kind of pissed on by people.
Sure.
They weren't in the bottom 12 for Val. So
Yeah. Well, the other one has a big impact in the Central Division, the Jets in Winnipeg, mm-hmm. listening to trade offers for Connor Hellebuyck. Wow, that would be an absolute blockbuster in the NHL if that comes to fruition.
Well, and the one that sounds most fascinating is the rumblings that Carolina is
is
fresh off winning the Cup, is one of those teams, and Carolina would be a fascinating kind of space for that, because obviously they ended up with Brandon Bussey was in net when they won, but Freddie Anderson had the great playoffs before. Connor Hellebuck's one of the best goalies in the world, so it's going to be. It feels a lot like Hellebuck. It's one of those where, like, if you're trying to figure out exactly what is or isn't going to happen,
right?
It feels like there's too much writing on the wall for him not to get moved. And I also can't help but wonder if that's the holdup on the Sergei Bobrovsky stuff as well, because Bobrovsky is kind of on the outs in Florida, from our understanding.
Yeah.
Not really sure where. And so that's why Hellebuck's name comes up for Florida as well. But so is there, how did the goalie musical chairs go? And I think once Hellebuyck is sorted one way or the other, we'll see a bunch of dominoes drop on that, because it's
I was going to say, if I'm Winnipeg, I'm kind of interested in Carolina if they're going to give me Bussey and some high picks.
Yeah. If you're Carolina, maybe it's the whole, like, do you want to keep Bussey and try to wait and move Anderson? I don't know, but yeah, like it's definitely one that I would be highly intrigued in if I'm Winnipeg. And I think there's going to be some cap crunch too. So can you maybe get out a better player than you expected Carolina to make available?
Okay, GM, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Would Sean Shapiro, live from Buffalo, 1-for-1, Connor Hellebuyck for Jake Oettinger?
Yes, I would.
Okay. That's fair.
I'd have to... Jake's younger.
Yeah.
But Jake is admittedly younger and obviously and those things like that. But Connor Hellebuck's the better goalie. And that's, at the end of the day, you need to, if you're the Stars, you're trying to win a Stanley Cup right now. And improving that goaltending position is going to be, there's not many places you can, there's not many trades where you can improve your goaltending.
Right.
This is one of the few.
Yeah, yeah. And before we let you go, Maverick Bork, do you expect any teams to potentially make an offer for him? And you had mentioned on the pod, which I really like, at the same time that you're talking to Robertson, they should be talking with Maverick Bork.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think the situation and how that will play out?
I think they get something. I mean, I think the Stars get something done with Bork. I also believe that the other reality about offer sheets is the player has to be willing to sign it too.
Yeah.
That's also the same thing that goes to the reality of with Robertson, right? Like any team can give Jason Robertson an offer sheet, but Jason Robertson has to be willing to sign it. So, that's for Maverick Bork is a big part of Jim Nill's long-term plan. And there's teams that have space and everything. And there's obviously the natural connection where, like, if Montreal was to come into play, all of a sudden maybe that's pretty favorable. But from a player perspective, I know that Maverick Bork has really, really enjoyed being part of the Stars in that plan there. He's enjoyed he's liked his time in the organization. He's really liked the development there, and so it's going to have to be probably a bit of an overpay too for the offer sheet on that. And so that's just a human element to keep in mind here.
And do you think the Campo Bianco one way, obviously he can be sent down if he clears waivers, but one way means that that 875 is against the salary cap books. Do you think this hurts Petrovic's chances for a comeback? He's a UFA.
I don't think there was space for both of them on the NHL roster, honestly. I mean, I'm sure if you're the Stars, you wouldn't mind having that conversation with Petrovic about bringing him back to Texas and seeing something like that. But, is it saying he's done in with the Stars organization? No, but it is a level of sometimes whether the Stars making that pick or Capobianco being more open to make that move right away, because this goes both ways for your Petrovic, right? You've had this success. You've had this.
Yeah.
Maybe you think, you know what, there's maybe you can go to another team, not a team that's going to have as good of a chance to win, but there's another team where late in your career, maybe you feel that you've earned a spot where you don't have to be that guy that's going to be the sixth guy on the sixth or seventh day. And maybe you can go somewhere and be,
right,
a proper number five somewhere.
Yeah, you can make I would think if I'm a team out there, you know, for depth, even if it's not that, Sean, for $1 million, you know, that's a good deal. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. You are awesome, Sean. Thank you so much for joining us from the NHL draft. Just give us a preview of what you'll be doing this weekend so we can follow you as far as Shap Shot and Elite Prospects, anything else you're doing.
Yeah, we'll have some more because Shap Shots right now, it's kind of the as I hear stuff, I write stuff type deal. So it's kind of it's not the fully planned level of the season. It's because if you make plans at this time of year, they get ruined. I will have something from Elite. I will have something from Elite over Elite Prospects tonight. Robert and I are kicking around the ideas of potentially throwing together just doing a quick live hit from the draft tonight. Follow the YouTube channel for that, and it obviously EP when you're watching the draft tonight. We got the draft guide there, so I highly encourage you, anyone, to go get that draft guide and watch the draft with that in hand, and you'll enjoy yourself. Also, most importantly, Gavin, we just had an ice cut here at the 11-day power play, and so we're going into, I have no idea what period of the game it's going to be, but the score, but Team Blue has a 1291 to 1255 lead right now, so.
I got to tell you, I love this concept. Like when you said it, I was like, I just thought it was a charity game. But then when you said it stretches over days, I absolutely love that idea. That's beautiful.
Yeah. We'll have to, we've got each period is something like, it looks like each period is like 45 minutes too. So it's just like a long, long game.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they might tag you in. I mean, you know, when it comes to beer league goalies, I mean, there's the Vezina sitting right there in Buffalo, baby. Thanks, Sean, man. Have a great weekend at the draft.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gavin. It's always fun.
The greatness of Sean Shapiro, thanks to him. Please support Sean in everything he does. And thanks to Gregory Finley and the on-time experts. Boy, what a week. And if anything happens, obviously, you can also listen to Spits and Suds. We'll crank out a new episode for you. Until then, have a great day, everyone.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.